Joyous Saturday morning to everybody. Welcome to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show, along with Director of Family Services of the CCA, Chris Radlitz. I'm Gary Byron. Chris, how are you there, brother?
Gary, I'm doing well, thank you.
I'm glad to hear that.
Absolutely. After last week's barrage of medical information, let's not bore everybody else with that again.
Well, no.
Let me just say things keep getting better and better.
You're even better than you were last week.
Isn't it amazing?
I'm happy for you.
It's a shock. No one would have ever expected.
It's miracles.
Yeah. Small miracles. Gotta love them.
The Lord works in mysterious ways.
And sometimes they're a blessing that is obvious. And that's really nice.
He just wanted to eliminate the gluten from you.
He said you've been a fatty long enough. Time for you to start trimming down.
Well, plus you lose weight from that, right?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. I found that I substituted the carbs that I was getting from gluten items like pizza and pasta and, you know, bread with potatoes and rice. So I am eating more potatoes and rice, but realistically, I'm really eating more vegetables and more protein. But I do throw in the potatoes and rice.
Don't they make a pizza?
And I have been losing weight.
The crust is actually not made of dough, right?
Yeah. But there's...
It's cauliflower.
Let's not call that pizza crust. Let's just say that there's a cauliflower crust out there that people can use to throw pizza-like substances on top of.
And if they didn't tell you what it was, you'd never know. Your mind works. You'd be like...
Dude.
Yeah. What?
No.
What?
You've obviously never tried cauliflower crust or broccoli.
I have, actually.
And you think that you wouldn't know that
that's not real pizza? But you know what? I'd rather have that than none at all. So.
I can't go that stretch. I've had it. And it's okay, but it's not pizza. To me, that's just not pizza. That's like a fake bread with stuff on it.
Pizza's whatever you want it to be, man. If you want it to be.
Oh, yeah. Your truth isn't my truth. I know. Yeah, you want to go down that road?
For some people who have no other option, like yourself, when you can't have the dough, and yet you like the pizza, well, this is the best it's going to be. So your version of pizza is now this.
Well, it's all about lowering standards and then making exceptions. So, yes, you're right.
Yeah.
And from that perspective, you are 100% correct. But in terms of calling it pizza, no, it ain't pizza.
Okay.
Sorry. That's just me.
That's you.
You may know that I have somewhat strong opinions on certain things at times.
Yeah, well, I pick and choose my pizza's not a battle. Pizza's not a battle we want to fight. No. Of course not.
If it tastes good to you, God bless you, man. Shovel it down with a pitchfork.
Now that we're in May here,
yeah.
Are things busy? They're busier, I know, in the summer months when it's you know, obviously with the weather and it's light out and it's warmer and people. But I mean, are you busy? Are the sales and the staff, your family service
advisors?
Yes, thank you. I was looking for that word.
So I will tell you that things are a little different this year.
Okay.
I think the economy is really taking a toll on people.
I don't think so. I know so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
You know, so my family service advisors will be talking to families, and, you know, the responses used to be, well, we're just not ready. And now they're like, you know, if it's an option of purchasing something that I'm going to use in 30 years versus paying this month's electric bill, the electric bill wins. And you kind of go, yeah, I get it. You know, you can't fight that.
Well, no, they're right. You would do the same thing.
You're absolutely right. I would do the same thing. So it's a much more difficult environment to operate in. Yeah.
So then how do you curb that?
How do you curb it?
Yeah. How do you get around that?
How do you get around it?
Because you still have to exist. You still have to educate. You still have to earn a living. You still have to have sales. You still have to educate.
Yeah. So one of the things I'll tell you is that we're fairly driven kind of guy. So we don't miss budgets. Our budgets are always going up. And before the end of the year, sooner or later, I'll have it figured out. Don't know if it'll be too late, but I'll have it figured out. And, you know, I'll tell you what. It's like everything. You know, you can't sell something to someone who's not ready to buy.
Sure.
Okay? So that's why, to me, teaching sales techniques and all this is like, no. You educate. You do your best job. You do what you're here to do. And that is really to explain and educate. And if you do, and if you get it, great. And if you don't, you've treated a family in a manner that they're going to always remember, and they'll come back to you when the time comes and it's right. You know, and that's just how it is. So from our perspective, what do? We look at different options. What other things can we offer? How can we make it more interesting for families to contemplate doing something now versus later? Okay. What services, what products can we provide? I spend a lot of my time scouring the world, you know, to try and see what are other associations doing. What is it that they're offering families that has been successful that, you know, falls within the teachings of the Catholic Church, of course, that we can bring to our families? And that's an ongoing process. I mean, for the last 7-8 years, that's pretty much what I've always been doing. And we've made huge changes that way. So that's, you know, it's ongoing. And then you look at how you advertise and you look at where you think you're getting your best returns. And because, you know, as the economy is difficult, guess what? We feel it too. So we have to tighten our belts and, you know, advertising budgets come down. You may only see me once a month now. You know, I don't know.
Well, I mean,
reality is reality. You got to do what's right for the families. And for us, it's survival and to make sure that we're always here. So that's important.
I was going to ask you about the Dignity of Life seminars that you've got coming up. Then I'd like to continue along the lines of Dignity of Life. Let's talk about the dates coming up in case when you and I get together and talk, we end up running out of time and then we've got no time to go over the dates, and that's important.
That's
so
happened.
Let's cover that. Let's front load it. Yeah.
Sure.
You think?
So the next one is May 11th at 6 o'clock in St. Louis Church in West Haven.
Okay.
May 18th is at 2 p.m. at St. Leo the Great Church in Waterbury.
Are these usually highly attended?
It depends. You know, I'd like to say, oh, they're packed. Always. No. We will get anywhere from 10 to 100 people.
Well, that's quite a window there. I mean,
but you're asking. I mean, if I had to pick an average, 20.
Okay.
I'd say, you know, probably around 20. No, it's very good. I'll do it for one. I don't care. Because if that one family is interested enough to be there, I'll be there to take care of them.
And the reason why I say let's piggyback on those dates and start talking maybe a little bit about the Dignity of Life seminars themselves, is it's been a while. I mean, we've talked about them on this show a number of times, but I don't remember the last time we actually did, so I figured, hey, now is as good a time as any to talk about them. Let's start with the most basic of questions. What is a Dignity of Life seminar?
Well, I think I want to start by saying that what's important is think about the name, okay? The name is called the Dignity of Life Seminar. Why did we choose that name? Why did I choose that name? I think that in today's world, we have lost a little bit of the reverence and the dignity that is associated with death. I think the advent of cremation, I think, has not been a positive for that aspect of end-of-life process. Because when a person is cremated, it's a different substance. I mean, it's just not the same. You know, people take them, they put them up on their mantles, the ashes. And I always say to a family, and I'm not pushing them one way or another, I say, well, look, you know, you want to put it up on a mantle? Well, imagine if it's the same thing, then just take the casket and stick it up on your mantle too. I mean, you know, what's the difference?
Well,
same thing, right? You're telling me it's exactly the same thing.
I don't know how many mantles that's going to actually be able to hold a coffin.
Well, put it in your living room then and make it a coffee table. I mean, I'm just saying, it's not the same thing. And to me, it's a little sad because I think that we lose a certain amount of respect for the importance of the human body, even in death. And I think what families sometimes forget is, you know, that body has been anointed with holy oils. Because when you were baptized, you were anointed with holy oils. When you were confirmed, you were anointed with holy oils. Possibly had the sacrament of the sick. Once again, you were anointed with holy oils. You know, anointings last forever. So your physical presence in the body still retains what those anointings were all about. If you look at the readings for the Mass of Christian burial, they all support the importance and reverence of that temple of the Holy Spirit that existed while you were walking the earth. So it's important, I think. And that's why I call them Dignity of Life seminars, not because we ever talk about that. We never do. We never talk about the difference between cremation and full-body burials because it's not what the seminar is about. It's about education. But this is, to me, this is where the name came from. And to me, it was important that we remember that we not only live as dignified human beings, but we need to be treated with the same dignity when we pass away. So that's kind of where the name came from. But what is the Dignity of Life seminar? Well, you know, end-of-life decisions are not easy. And having discussions, we have mentioned in the past about how it's very rare on a Saturday, you know, you get up in the morning, you know, and you look at your honey and say, hey, it's such a beautiful day. Let's go tour cemetery. No, that doesn't happen that often. You know, it's not upmost of people's minds. But what I think this does is it offers people an opportunity to, in a very safe environment, meaning non-threatening, get their questions answered so that they at least have information for the future that they can make good decisions on. And how do we do that? Well, we conduct a program not only with ourselves as the cemeteries, but with other experienced professionals in the industry. And each of us will give a 15 to 20 minute presentation on how we manage these elements of the golden years. It's kind of geared for the ages 50 plus parishioners or children of older parishioners who are worried about them. And you know, it really should only take an hour. It's up to the questions that are asked that determines, you know, how long it really stays or goes on. And there's a nice spread of food usually, you know, and it's all very nicely presented, I think. So it's a great opportunity to have questions answered in a private environment in the presence of your family. It's also an opportunity to start the conversation, quote, you know, quotes, which loved ones, as we've said, have a difficult time with approaching the subject of the afterlife. So we hold them in parishes around the diocese, usually in the afternoons and early evenings to accommodate, you know, people's schedules. And as always, you can go to our website and find out the particulars of where they are, when they are, CCACEM, as in Mary.org.
Who participates, though?
Oh, so that's a good question. It's myself, usually, or a representative from the Catholic Cemeteries Association, a local funeral director, usually some member of the legal professions, generally specializing in elder care law, or a probate judge. And this group of professionals usually can answer any question that comes up during or after the presentation. And if we can't, we certainly will provide guidance or get the information back to you. The one thing I've always said to people, and I've lived my life this way, is if I don't know the answer to a question, I'll say, I don't know, but I'm going to find out, and I'll get right back to you. And that's kind of where the importance of the family service advisors comes in, too, because they do the exact same thing. You know, they'll always answer the questions of the family. And if they don't know the answer, they're going to call and find out. And usually I get the call because I guess someone thinks I might know something. But and sometimes I do.
Contacting an FSA I would probably be the next logical step in this process, right, of pre-planning. So whether you could attend a seminar or not, tell us what the FSA, you know, the
Family Service Advisor.
What do they do specifically in your organization?
It's interesting. You know, talk about a well-placed, a well-chosen name. The Family Service Advisor is exactly what the name suggests. They advise and serve the family in helping them provide guidance, education, knowledge of the rites of Christian burial to all the families of the archdiocese that they encounter, and the other services that the CCA offers. We currently have a staff of 13 family service advisors that are located at our cemetery offices. But we also accept appointments after business hours and weekends also. Their primary goal is, as I said, to educate, not sell. One of the things that I think is really important is that most of the family service advisors, they will have tough days.
How do you not?
Okay, and I mean tough days by, you know, I had someone call me literally last week, one of my FSAs, and they said, Chris, I had two baby deaths and an 18-year-old suicide. And I'm like, go home. Just go home. Stop at church on the way and then go home. Because, you know, she was just emotionally wrung out. And you can't be in front of the family because you have to be strong and you have to help them and guide them through the process. Because there's a decision that has to be made. It's not like there's an option. You can't come back next week. So it's a tough job. And they, I think, they do a very good job with it. That's why you'll find that, you know, most of the people that are family service advisors don't come from a heavy sales background.
Where do you recruit from? Well, where do you find these people? What a job. That's tough.
So think about it. In today's world especially, it's extremely difficult to find anybody to do anything.
Well, right. That notwithstanding, though.
No, but that's one thing that makes it so difficult right now. We want to grow. I want to add 2 to 3 people easily, okay? And I can't because I can't find them. You know, I mean, you have to have some basic qualifications, all right? You have to be able to express yourself fairly well. You have to have some knowledge of Catholicism, okay? Preferably be Catholic, but,
empathy, maybe, is...
Maybe some empathy, some compassion, right? Well, finding everybody, you know, that's not easy. You'll find most of our people come from the welfare side of the industry. I mean, social welfare services and things. Because they have been relating to people who are in need for a long time. And they understand how to talk to people. So we don't have a bunch of salespeople here. We have a bunch of people who really know how to deal and understand people. And that's great. I mean, it took me, you know, all my life I've been a hardcore sales guy. In terms of my, not only my professional life in sales and sales management, but also even personally, you know, kind of a hard driving, go forward, bump, 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 bump. Well, you know, so this is very different. So it took me a little bit of time to realize, okay, this is not what it's about. We are a ministry. And our FSAs understand we are a ministry. Now, that ministry carries a very significant financial part. It has to. Because we have to be, because we're also a business. And I can't ever separate those two. So I think once we talked last week, maybe we talked about some of the crazy phone calls I got. You know, yeah, I'm sorry, but we are a business also. And we, you know, it's a not for profit, so we're not there to make a ton of money, but we're there to ensure our survival because our survival is important to the archdiocese and to the families of the archdiocese. You want to know when you bury your loved one, there's going to be someone there to take care of them forever. Mm. Okay. And we've been really, really careful and really, really good at getting that set up and making sure it stays that way. So that's a big, big part of why family service advisors play such an important role. And I think one of the things that people forget is that person becomes your advocate. That person is there to help you. So it's not only for the decision you have to make at the time you meet with them, but it's also there for the future. And I'll tell you something. The relationships that these guys form, and I use the guys in the non-gender specific term. I'm a New Jersey guy, so everybody's a use guys, you know. It's amazing, the relationships. You know, they get invited to Christmas dinners and Thanksgiving and, you know, things like this. And it's like, wow, okay. You know, nobody invites me anywhere, but nonetheless. So, no, and I think it's great because that tells me how highly thought of they are by the families that they deal with. And, you know, I've gotten so many nice notes about their interactions with family service advisors. Families have sent me, you know, to let me know. So that's great. And I find that very gratifying because it means we've done something right. And it's always good to feel like, you know, you've done something right, especially in an area that's so important.
How rewarding. Folks, you are listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show along with Chris Radlitz. I'm Gary Byron. Of course, you can find more information on the Catholic Cemeteries Association at www.ccacem, as in Mary. Obviously, all right, so after just hearing that, the staff is a very integral part of your organization. Tell us a little bit about how the CCA was actually formed. I mean, you talked about the mission a moment ago.
Yeah.
Right?
So let me just add one thing to the family service advisor discussion we just had. If the type of position that I've just described is something that someone in the listening audience feels is of interest to them, or it's something they would like to explore, please don't hesitate to contact me and let's get together and see if there's a fit for you. Okay, so that's it. That's my one important recruitment message that I just sent out. The staff is an integral part of the organization, as you can tell by the way I've described it. Our mission, of course, is to care for the burial needs of the families of the archdiocese. That is the predominant mission that we always focus on, and it's of great importance to us. It was formed, the CCA was formed back in 1961, which, 62 years ago?
Yeah.
So it's been around a while. under Archbishop O'Brien. And the purpose of this happening was that you had all these other cemeteries that were out there that had their own rules and regulations, and they had their own maintenance standards, and you know, they had certain products that they would offer and others didn't, and there were certain services and others didn't. And so the Archbishop looked at all this and said, I'm going to create this association, which is exactly what you'll find across the country. Most archdioceses or dioceses have Catholic cemeteries associations, where they bring all of the cemeteries under the auspices of the archdiocese so that there's a uniformity that exists, so that things are done the same everywhere. And people know that when they go into a Catholic cemetery, here's the things they can expect. They can expect a certain level of care and maintenance. They can expect to see a certain level of Catholic items and visible signs of our faith throughout the grounds that they're in. And they also know that we will operate in such a manner to be fiscally responsible and financially secure, so that when the time comes and a loved one is entrusted to us, we're going to take care of them the way they're supposed to be for that all-important time called, say it, eternity.
Was that
your cue. I didn't prep you on that one. I'm sorry.
All right. Last question, because I'm running out of time. I've only got about 5 minutes left. Besides the dignity of life that occur on an ongoing basis, right, what's like the newest plan that a family can learn about from one of your family service advisors?
Well, I think we've talked about this one a lot because it's so important. The newest addition to the services that we offer families is the Catholic funeral plan. The Catholic funeral plan allows Catholics to make their funeral and cemetery arrangements in advance. And the plan guarantees that upon your death, the arrangements you've selected will be executed as stated in your plan outline and in accordance with the traditions of the Catholic faith. And this is important. And how does this happen? Well, we've created a whole separate company called the Catholic Family Services Association, which is responsible for administering that plan. And they are responsible also to ensure that your wishes are carried out. So literally, when someone passes away, the family member just has to make one phone call to the Catholic Family Services Association. We pull out the plan that they have instituted, and then we get the gears rolling. We call the funeral homes. We call the priests.
How do they know who to call? What number? Or
well, when you sign up for the Catholic funeral plan, you get five.
But I'm dead.
Five cards.
No.
You're still alive when you sign up.
No, right, but I'm saying...
If I could sign up everybody who's dead, that would be a real boon, or a real boonfall for me. That would be awesome. I could love to do that.
So I sign up for it, but then I pass away. How does anybody know who to call and where?
Your closest family relatives, we give them five cards that they can give to their closest family relatives, and they are instructed to know that if this person passes...
That's the answer.
You just call this number.
Okay.
And let everything take place, you know, from there. And we'll talk to the families, and we'll help them. We'll take care of them. And it's 24/7. You know, there's never a wait. It's a great program. I mean, the benefits that we provide, I think, are significant. So when you enroll in the Catholic funeral plan, you'll be developing a program outline for a funeral service that best suits you. You get to choose your funeral home. You select the specific arrangement at a cost that meets your budget. And at the time of need, your funeral home will make and execute the agreements, because the CFSA is there to oversee this and make sure the process goes on in such a manner that your wishes are carried out as you directed and within the guidelines of the Catholic faith tradition. So it's really in a very affordable way to preserve the traditions of the Catholic faith. It's an assurance that your wishes will be executed according to the plan. And it's inflation protection, because the excess that's accumulated is paid to your beneficiary. So the Catholic funeral plan really has been a great boon to our organization. And I think to the families of the Archdiocese more than anything. It really provides a valuable service that helps them have it at a very much affordable cost.
I know we talked about this when the show first started. Do you want to talk about some of the dignity of lives that are being held?
No, we've already talked about that. I think in the beginning we talked about it. But one of the things that's happening this month that I think is very important is that we have Memorial Day masses that are being held at our cemeteries.
Yeah, let's mention them, please.
Yeah. So at All Saints Cemetery in North Haven at 10:30 in the morning, there will be a Memorial Day mass. Mount St. Peter in Derby at 10 a.m. Mount Olivet in Watertown at 8 a.m. Mount St. Benedict right across the street
That's
here
right, yeah.
at 10 a.m. And St. James in Naugatuck, there will be a Mass at 8 a.m. So we've got these cemeteries that are having special Memorial Day Masses that hopefully families will be able to come to and see. And one other thing I'd like to mention is that Mother's Day is just around the corner. And as such, we have a special for mothers running that anyone who walks into a cemetery and purchases a mausoleum crypt gets a free cameo that gets mounted on that crypt. And that's really nice. It's a $600 value, and it's a little gift for Mother's Day back to the families of the Archdiocese.
I would imagine those two holidays, Mother's Day and Memorial Day.
Yeah.
I'm talking about for this month, May. Cemeteries are mopped.
They are. They're very busy days.
Which is a good thing.
It is. As a matter of fact, you'll find our FSAs out there during the weekends on Mother's Day
is that
and
right?
Memorial Day. Well, we're handing out flags to families, no charge. You know, they come in and they get a nice flag that they can place on the grave, which is really important.
Oh, man, Memorial Day. Cemeteries, all those flags, that gives you goosebumps.
Oh, it does.
Rows.
It absolutely does give you goosebumps. It's a beautiful thing. And flowers usually for Mother's Day for mothers.
Yeah. You do that too?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's really nice.
Oh, my goodness. That's great. I appreciate all that information. I learn a lot every time. Even something new. Even as many times as we've done this show, I'm always picking up something new.
Good folks, to know it's not stale.
No, exactly. Folks, if you'd like more information on the Catholic Cemeteries Association, all their programs, simply information that we've discussed on this show as well as others, head on over to the Catholic Cemeteries Association website. It's very easy. It's www.ccacem.org. If you'd like to write to us, simply email us at ccawdrc@gmail.com. Hey, who knows? Maybe we can get your question answered on these very airwaves as soon as next weekend. And if you'd like more information or to schedule a consultation, write this toll-free phone number down. It is 800-505-0050. Again, toll-free, 800-505-0050. For Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services of the CCA, I am Gary Byron. Until next Saturday morning, thank you so much for listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show. Have a good one, everybody. So long.